Our Bibles this morning. Let's go to the book of Jonah. Book of Jonah, chapter number one. It's going to be kind of an interesting, and I think we're really going to take this farther and look at this more in depth, this subject, because there's two of the prophets, the third one mentions it, but two of the prophets very specifically deal with this specific city. So we're going to look at this this morning, just for a few moments, and we'll get going on this, and then maybe after February's over, we'll dive into it some more. But Jonah chapter number one, I'm going to read this first. Well, we'll just read until we decide to quit reading, I guess. Jonah chapter 1, verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, and that we perish not." And they said, everyone to his fellow, "Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou?" And he said unto them, "I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us?" For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, "Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Let's pray, and we'll stop there, and we'll read some more here in a moment. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity that you give us to come to your house once again this week. Lord, I pray that most of all that you'd be honored this morning in this, as we kind of study this topic, Lord. And Father, I pray that you would help me to be a better soul winner. Lord, I pray that when you lay something on my heart that you would, that I would do it, and I would be an obedient servant. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. And just bless all the Sunday school classes that are going on right now and the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody knows the story of Jonah and the whale, all right? And there's some debate, and I think it's kind of foolish, you know. Everybody knows the story of Jonah and the whale. There's a lot of debate about, was it really a whale or a big fish? I don't really think Jonah really cared if it was a whale or a big fish, quite honestly. Bible says great fish. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it was, but he got swallowed by something that swims in the water, okay? So we all know the story of Jonah. Now the Bible says, now the word of the Lord came, verse number one, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh." Arise, go to Nineveh. Now we don't know exactly what happened in between verse number two and verse number three, but something happened in Jonah's life that he decided he did not want to obey God. I think you would all agree with me. Because Jonah at this point in verse number 3, Jonah did not arise and go to Nineveh. Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish. So he is disobeying God right here. And we're going to talk about this just a little bit this morning. And on some ways, I'm going to defend Jonah this morning. You know, defend Jonah? Well, I think if you want to be completely honest with yourself, we've all been in Jonah's shoes. Every one of us has been in Jonah's shoes. God asks us to do something that we don't want to do. And whether, you know, well, he didn't ask me to go to Nineveh. Do you know what Nineveh was? And I'm going to tell you this morning what Nineveh was and the debauchery that Nineveh was. And in fact, I'm going to relate this to something that's going on in our society today. But think about this with Jonah. Think about this with Jonah. God told Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Brother Chad, what was Nineveh? Nineveh was one of the largest cities of the Assyrian Empire. It covered roughly 1,800 acres, that one city did. Okay. Now, I'm sure there's larger cities today, but in that day and age, that was a huge city. The Assyrians, you say, Brother Chad, who were the Assyrians? How many remember Nimrod? The Bible talks about Nimrod. The Assyrians were basically descendants of Nimrod, and they served the god Asher, okay? And thus the name Assyrians, that came from that, the god that they served. They say it had at least 150,000 inhabitants, probably more. They don't know for sure how many inhabitants it had. But the Assyrians, let me tell you a little bit about the Assyrians. The Assyrians, and I'm going to relate them to a group today, and I think you will understand, and it's odd that they have so much similarities. But everybody's heard recently about the Islamic, what is it, ISIS. I call it ISIS. I don't know what the Iraqi Syrian independent state or whatever it is, okay? But you think about that. What is their main premise of conquering people? What are they? Well, we consider them a what kind of group? A terrorist group. The Assyrians, remember, ISIS is a Syrian group, okay? The Assyrians, their main premise of battle was terrorism. And I'm going to explain it, and this is going to be kind of, it'll blow your mind, some of the stuff that they did. But the Assyrians, they would, when they went into a city and they conquered a city, either they massacred everyone, okay, and that was if you were lucky. Bro Chad, if you were lucky, you got massacred? Yes. That was relatively an easy way to die. A lot of people, they'd cut their ears, their tongues out. They would skin people. They've got pictures. They had them in the temple of, or in the palace of Sennacherib. Pictures of, they chiseled it into stone of people being chained to walls and skinned alive. Okay? They would take sticks and they would completely impale people from the bottom all the way up through their mouth and stick them in the ground along the road. These were sick people. But you know what? Think about it this way. If they did that and people knew that that's what was going to, okay, and then they sent an ultimatum to them and said, all right, you either surrender to us and we'll deport you and move you to a different place, or we will come in and do all these horrendous things. Okay, personally, if I know that I'm going to get conquered one way or another, I'm going to move. I don't want to go through all, and it was terrorism. You know, that's what ISIS is doing. And to me, it's kind of intriguing that it's Assyrians and Syrians. You know, they've really not gone that far from their roots, okay? But they're doing the same. I mean, they are basically conquering through terrorism, okay? They do some, what we would consider, you know, grotesque things, but in the Assyrians' mind, the ISIS is baby stuff. I mean, and I can't even tell you all, honestly, from the pulpit, I cannot tell you all the stuff that the Assyrians would do to their captives. It will blow your mind. Well, how can people be so grotesque, so perverted in their mind? But you know what God says? Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Okay, now, I'm going to defend Jonah right here. If God came to me, remember, ISIS believes, I'm just going to use ISIS. Remember, I said that's baby stuff compared to what the Assyrians did. If God came to me, and ask yourself this, God came to you and said, all right, you're a Christian. ISIS is a Muslim nation, or Muslim, okay? You go to ISIS, and you are to go to ISIS and win them to Christ. You're going to go right into their camp, preach against their sin, what would you do? Did you ever think about that? Oh, Jonah should have just obeyed God. Well, would you? I don't know about me. Man, I ain't going to, man. I ain't going to go walk into their camp and start preaching against Muhammad. And, well, if God tells you to, what are you supposed to do? Think about that. Think about that. Jonah was sent to reach a people. We see that in verse number 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness is come up before me. And we see that very clearly here. Nineveh was a very amazing city. And I think you'll find it interesting in some of the prophets that we look at here in the next few weeks, or once we get back into Sunday school, about what Nineveh was and how that it was such a terrible city. But we're going to look at Jonah. We're talking in February. This is the 31st. So in February, we're talking to be, it's a missions emphasis. Well, I want to challenge you this morning. What has God asked you to do, or who has God asked you to talk to that we've not talked to, that I've not talked to? I know it's true in my life. You can be going someplace and God will speak to your heart. Give that guy a track. Oh, I don't have one on me. Or, you know, we're too busy. Well, how am I any different from Jonah at that point if I don't obey what God? And you know what? God's not asking me to go. God has never asked me to go to somebody that could easily kill me. He's never asked. You know, but it's hard for us Christians to go. We can't even go door to door in, you know, the freest country in the world. But there's a great commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So what has God asked me to do that I'm not doing? Okay? What is there in that? Let's go to, I want to give you just a little bit. Let's go to 2 Kings. And I know we're kind of getting away from Jonah right here, but we will get back to him. I just want to give you a little bit of a background between Israel's relationship to Assyria. 2 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 9. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse number 9. Bible says, and it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Syria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years they took it, even in the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria, and put them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes, because they obeyed, listen to this, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant, and all that Moses the servant of the Lord commanded, and would not hear them, nor do them. You know, Israel, at right here, we see here, Israel is taken captive by the Assyrians, by the people I just told you about. And you think, well, Brother Chad, would somebody ever invade America and commit the cruelties that ISIS is doing to these other nations? Let me ask you this question. America is a Christian nation, but are we really a Christian nation anymore? Or have we forgotten the laws of God? Have we forgotten what our heritage is as a Christian nation? I think it's very possible. Well, they would never, well, they flew two airplanes into, you know, some of our buildings. I'm not going to go into it, but you look at where they have positions in our country, it is unbelievable. The key positions, the transportation systems, our fuel systems. Start looking at the gas stations. Go to the truck stops. And I think you'll be amazed. You, Brother Chad, are you stereotyping? No. I'm not really stereotyping, but they're there. It's there. Could God easily take our Christian nation our Christian nation and humble us? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what God did here to Israel. God said, I'm going to send you to the Assyrians. And I'm just going through all this because I want you to understand, Jonah was scared. Jonah was scared to death. He did not want to go to Assyria. And honestly, I can't blame the guy. I'm just defending Jonah right here. And you say, Brother Chad, should you defend him? No, but I've been in Jonah's shoes. To that extent, Brother Chad, no. But I've disobeyed God when God's asked me to witness to somebody. I've disobeyed God when I should have done something and I didn't do it. Okay? So we see Jonah was sent to reach this people. If you look at verse number 13 of chapter 18, now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me, that which thou puttest on me will I bear. And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. Here we see it again. Hezekiah, king of Judah. Now we're not talking about Israel here, we're talking about Judah. Hezekiah, king of Judah, had actually had revolted against the king of Assyria. And at this point, Hezekiah is free. He is a free nation. But then Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, comes back and he attacks Judah again. The Bible says in verse number 13, he takes all of the fenced cities of Judah. Well, where was the God that helped Hezekiah revolt against Assyrians before? He's in the same place. He never left. But for some reason, you see here in verse number 14 that Hezekiah says, whoa, I'll give you, just tell me what you want to put on me. Tell me what kind of tribute that you want to put on me, and I'll give it to you. And so Sennacherib says, all right, I want you to give me 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. Wow, pretty heavy tribute. So you know what Hezekiah did? He took all the gold out of his house, and then he went to the house of the Lord. This is the disturbing part. He went to the house of the Lord, and he took all the silver, he took all the gold out. The Bible says he stripped the doors of the gold that he had put on the doors so he could pay the world for their, you know, the tribute that they want. You know, as Christians, and we're guilty of this, we want to steal from God to pay the world. We accumulate, and this is just a practical truth, okay? Pastor Ross preached it, okay? We accumulate debt in the world, and then what we often want to do is we want to steal from God to pay the world's debts. Think about it. Well, we rack up all this stuff from the world, and then we want to steal from God to pay it? I don't think that makes God real happy, okay? Verse number 17 through verse number 25. There are some men, I'm not going to read all this, but there are some men that come to Hezekiah outside the city walls of Judah or Jerusalem, and they start talking to Hezekiah, and they say, all right, Hezekiah, and they basically are using terrorist tactics here, okay? That's what they're doing. They're using terrorist tactics. And it's interesting, if you look at verse number 26, then said Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joah, unto Rabshakeh, speak, I pray thee, to thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and talk not with us in the Jews' language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall. You know, I've read this, I don't know how many times I've read this, and it never made sense to me until I understood what the Syrians, one of their psychological warfare tactics were. Why couldn't they speak in the Syrian language? Because they could understand it. You know what they were doing? They were yelling up on top of that wall in the same language that all the people could hear and telling them basically all the stuff that was going to happen to them if they didn't surrender. It was psychological warfare. They were a terrorist group that was using psychological warfare. They were trying to convince, without ever fighting, they were trying to convince the Jews, because the Bible says the ears of the people that are on the wall. Look at verse 27. But Rabshakeh said unto them, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? He's like, I didn't come to talk to you. I didn't come to talk to you. Hath he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall? Listen to this, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you. Brother Chad, that's just metaphorical. No. These guys, they were being serious. That's what they were going to do to them. And he's wanting these guys to know, hey, we're going to make you do this unless you surrender. Man. All right? So you see what I'm saying about a terrorist group here? Okay? That's what they are. That's what they're doing. Okay? And we can go through this farther. It's pretty neat. If you go over to chapter 19, and I'm not going to go through all this. We'll dive into this more at another date. I think you'll be interested by this. But verse number 19, or chapter 19, look at verse number 35. If you'll, in chapter 19, Hezekiah is communicating through Isaiah the prophet to God. And in verse, and they come to kind of an agreement, and Hezekiah knows that he has not done what's right. But in verse number 35, the Bible says, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. 100, do you see that? 185,000 men died that night. You know, yeah, there may be terrorist groups out there that will commit atrocious things, just like the Assyrians. But who ultimately, folks, has control? Okay, God's the one that has control. So for Jonah, you know, I think if one of those Ninevites, if Jonah was in the perfect center of God's will, think about this. If Jonah is doing exactly what God wants him to, and Jonah goes into Nineveh, and one of those Ninevites lifts their hand against Jonah, do you think that God has the power? Remember, I said 150,000 were probably the inhabitants of Nineveh. 185,000 died in one night here. So you think God does not have the power to wipe Nineveh out? Absolutely. Completely annihilate Nineveh. But it's only for those who are in the perfect center of God's will. Let's go back to the book of Jonah. I just want to, this morning more than anything, if I was to have one thing that I just kind of want to get across is our obedience to what God asks us to do. Our obedience to what God asks us to do. Look at chapter number 3 of Jonah. Chapter number 2 is basically Jonah in the fish's belly. Chapter number 3 is after he got puked up. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. Okay, this is crazy. This shows the power of when you do what God asks you to do. So I think when it says a great city of 3 days' journey, basically once you got into the city, I think from what I can understand, it would take you approximately 3 days to get across the city. Okay, it's not saying that it was 3 days away. I think it's talking about it was 3 days from the time you went to the city. If you walked, it'd take you basically 3 days to get through the city, okay? Which wouldn't really make sense at 1,800 acres. But, I mean, you're going through streets and stuff like that. And Nineveh was actually set up, and we'll see this in Nahum, the prophet Nahum. But Nineveh was set up in a very defensive manner. All the houses basically were in a courtyard. Okay, so it wasn't just like, you know, you had a straight shot through the middle of town. It was set up different that way. So, and Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey. So he went a third of the way into the city. And this cracks me up. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's all he said. That's all the Bible gives us that he said. But did he obey God here? Yes. God didn't, I don't read anywhere that God said, you got to spend however many days there. So he went in there. And then the amazing thing, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. That's an amazing, amazing thing. Okay, in the context of what I was kind of illustrating earlier, you go into a terrorist group and say, 40 days, and you're going to be destroyed. And everybody puts sackcloth and ashes on and repents. That's a pretty amazing thing. Remember, these are a different God, just like ISIS would be. They have a different religion. You know, their specialty is killing Christians. They, you know, that's what they like to do. Anybody that doesn't believe like them, they're infidels. They want to kill them. But one man goes in and he says, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. But you know what? It was one man doing what God asked him to do. And I got thinking about this. Man, how many times could God, if God would have Christians that are yielded to him, how many times could God have saved a nation? What about Lot? Wonder if God, and I don't have record of this. Wonder if God asked Lot to go to Sodom and Gomorrah and proclaim a truth in Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't have any record that he did. But I know God is a very gracious and a very merciful God. But if he never did, whose blood is Sodom and Gomorrah on? Lot. It's on Lot. I don't know. I don't have record. But I think that if there was a just man in a wicked city, one of his responsibilities is to proclaim truth. And there was no converts that Lot had in Sodom. Okay, so something to think about, something to contemplate. So we see that, first of all, Jonah was sent to reach a people. Jonah sought to flee from an unwelcome task. Jonah didn't want to do this. He was overtaken in his flight by the fish. And then he found God in the depths of the sea. And then Jonah obeyed God and he went. And because of that, there was a great revival. Let me just ask you this morning, and we'll be finished here, and we could go, there's a lot, we can go to Nahum. Nineveh actually finally gets destroyed, and we're going to talk about the apostasy of Nineveh in weeks to come. But what has God asked me to do that I have not done? Is it worth spending 3 nights in the belly of the whale? I'm going to go to Psalms, you don't have to necessarily turn there, Psalms chapter 139. I'm going to read you a verse here. It's kind of an interesting verse. Psalms chapter 139. Let burning coals fall. Or I'm sorry, that's not. That's 140. Even there. Verse number 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. You know what? God says, all right, I'm with you wherever you're at. And remember what I said. I don't, as far as I know, nobody ever said boo to Jonah in Nineveh. We don't have any record of it. But I don't know. I think God, if God can kill 185,000 soldiers in one night by however means, I think he can probably take care of his man that went to tell somebody. Brother Chad, my neighbors, you don't understand my neighbors. Believe me, okay? You don't understand my neighbors, all right? We'll just leave it at that. You don't understand my neighbors. Brother Chad, are you sure that it's safe to go door-to-door soul winning? I think you'll be okay. If God has asked you to do it, God will give you the strength to do it, okay? God's asked me to witness to somebody, and I'm afraid what they would say. What they would say? And Jonah was going to a people that not only tortured people for fun, but did it to his particular nation of people. I think you'll be okay. I think I'll be okay. The long and short of it is we're just selfish and we don't want to do it. Jonah just did not want to. And you'll see, it's kind of funny, if you look at Jonah in the last chapter of Jonah, you know, there's this huge revival, amazing thing. And then verse number 1 of chapter 4, and we'll be done. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. So God worked an amazing thing, and then Jonah's mad about it. Well, God, you should have. You know what I think Jonah was like? God, you should have just killed him. I didn't want them to repent. I just wanted them wiped out. You know, and we're like that too. I mean, don't, you know. Well, they just need to be, you know, they just need to be punished by God. And then we'll see in Jonah's life that God says, well, you know how big my mercy is, how great my mercy is. So we see that in the life of Jonah. So I just want you to realize that Jonah, we are asked to do the same thing that Jonah is. We're asked to be obedient. That's what God wants us to do. And we can look at Jonah in the fish's belly, okay? And there are times that God's going to put us through stuff. Why? Because we're not obeying him. But if we obey him, God has the opportunity to work a powerful thing. But if we never go to Nineveh, we never go to where God asks us to go, we never go and obey God, God can never do mighty things. So let's be obedient. I need to be obedient to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the simple lessons that you've given us. Lord, help me to be more obedient to you. Lord, help me to be a better witness for you and be bolder in my witness for you. And Lord, thank you just for your love for us and your great mercy to us. In Jesus' name, amen.